The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Ro. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Ro. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Ro. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
Happy Sunday morning. Sunday, May 18th, 2025. I'm your host, Blaise Olson. And it's been a weekend. How about those Twins? How about those Wolves? How about the Lynx? No, we're not taking over sports. But, you know, I want to just acknowledge those winning teams because over at the legislature, they are in a tied up, massive battle, which is supposed to end tomorrow, but they're going to need extra innings. They're going to need overtime. And it's probably kind of like NHL overtime where it feels it's sudden death and you just don't know what bounce of the puck is going to go which way at all. So we'll catch you up on that. Mary Ellen Hammer is going to join me in a little bit. We'll talk about the Rubik's Cube that is the end of the legislative session. You saw on Wednesday when Governor Walz and legislative leaders, with the exception of Mark Johnson, signed the budget targets. Traditionally, in a budget year, that would mean that they could probably get everything through pretty smoothly, even if they needed a little extra time. But when you have a tied House, that's not the case. So here's a couple things to think about in the final day. I've talked to legislators and texted and thought this through. So here are the things to watch. Paid family medical leave. This was a bill that Democrats passed 2 years ago. It is going to have some sticky situations here at the end of the day, at the end of the session. That's one thing. That and earned safe and sick time. Because the tie in the House means that you have to have a bipartisan vote to get to 68. And Democrats aren't willing to give up those votes. Second, how do Democrats and Republicans work out between the House and the Senate the smaller parts of these budget bills? We're down to like decimals and dollars of how you negotiate what program you put the money in. That's going to be another major sticking point. And the biggest wild card now, and probably until they have a special session agreement, which they will need, is the health care for undocumented Minnesotan adults. The idea that the governor cut that out, I think you see on the front page of the Star Tribune, DFLers surprised by Walz's move to the middle. And I think that's one of the things that's a factor here. Governor Walz has been a different kind of governor when it came to dealing with the legislature. The end of this session, the final deal will depend on his ability to find agreement. Because after tomorrow at midnight, Governor Walz is the only person who can reconvene the legislature for a deal. And because of that, he gains more leverage. He still needs 68 votes in the House. And that's when you're going to start to see who digs in. And it's not a matter of if they dig in. It's whether or not Democrats dig in deeper or Republicans dig in deeper in the final negotiations for the special session. In text with legislative leaders today, they say that underground there is movement to find these final deals, that there's a process, that legislators at this time have really trouble compromising. They're tired. Sometimes when you compromise, when you're tired, it's easier to kind of wear down the other side. But sometimes, obviously, emotions and other dynamics come into play. And I think that's what you're going to see here in the legislative session in the last couple of days. Legislative leaders will probably give an update later today. They'll probably work overnight tonight and then throughout the day tomorrow. But knowing that they have to have a special session means that they probably won't have that flurry of craziness at the end that we've seen the last few years. So that's the update from St. Paul. The update from Washington is similar. Republicans holding the line on spending, frustrating Speaker Johnson and President Trump. And that'll be the next days of our lives after the legislature to see if they can pull this budget together before Memorial Day and then reconcile it by 4th of July. When we come back, I'm going to have Mary LaHammer from TPT Almanac join me. She's going to give some insight onto what she's seen, what she's hearing, and how this legislative deal might come together or might fall apart. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back on Sunday.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Take, I'm your host, Blois Olson. We're in the final days of the regular legislative session. We are going to have a quote-unquote special session. We just don't know when it'll be and the issues that will be left to resolve, but as legislators gather again today and through the day tomorrow. Joining me now is my friend and longtime co-conspirator on many projects, Mary LaHammer. I just think we should make it like we actually like try to figure this stuff out behind the scenes rather than just talk about it on the air, Mayor.
You know, maybe we've been around through enough sessions, but, you know, they get predictable. As we always say, there's nothing special about special sessions. And just about every time we've had divided government in a budget year, there's a special session. This year is no different. What's different is, you know, the House being tied and the Senate one vote margin. So that part's different. The rest we've seen before.
That's right. So let's just set the table from where you're seeing, because I've gotten a lot of texts out. I've saw the budget deal come together. We quickly saw Democrats protest, literally protest their own party's agreement. And now, while they're working on some minor details, there's I'll call it an uneasy uncertainty that they know how this thing's going to come together in the end. What are you sensing?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to, you know, the global budget deal. It did not involve one of the leaders, Senate Republicans. Now they're in the minority, but they could be needed to put up votes because some of those Democrats who were protesting their DFL leaders and the deal they cut are from the Senate. And the Senate, you know, has no votes to spare. So they may have to get some Republicans on board because so far, because of the ending health insurance, state health insurance for adult undocumented immigrants, that's really created, as you said, so much strife. I've never seen anything like it. I've had a lot of folks up at the Capitol know that I've been around for a long time, and they said, is this normal? Have we seen this before? And never before have I in, you know, several decades now seen members of their own party protesting them. The governor's a Democrat. Two out of three legislative leaders standing there were Democrats. The people pounding on the door and protesting and saying, you're killing people, you're killing immigrants, were also Democrats. So a lot of intra-party strife and question marks. And we still do not know how the votes are going to shake out. Majority Leader Aaron Murphy was asked Friday night on Almanac. We had all four legislative leaders on live, a long, long tradition. And she was asked, do you have the votes? We don't know if they have the votes yet.
So let's walk through the different caucuses, because I think this is going to be instructive. So you mentioned Mark Johnson, Senate Republican leader, did not sign the deal. So let's just start there. Talk about his personality, talk about his style, and talk about the things to think about his caucus if they are needed to pass some votes. What issues would they use on leverage? And personality-wise, we do know that he and Murphy have built a decent and good relationship, even after the chaos of last year. How do you see that caucus navigating the next 24 hours to 5 weeks?
Yeah, you and I both know Senator Mark Johnson leads Senate Republicans. For a while, he was in the co-power sharing, co-chair model, just like the House is now, because the Senate was tied. The Senate has suffered deaths, resignations. They've been through a lot this year. So I think those two leaders really came together and kept it civil and worked really well together when they had to. And Senator Johnson's style is, you know, amiable, low key. He's not known as really a, you know, bare knuckles, you know, fight till the bitter end. He's got some members of his caucus that do. And, you know, if we use history as an example, when votes were needed from Senate Republicans not so long ago, they wanted more money for nursing homes and rural nursing homes. Republicans are picking up more and more votes and influence and numbers in rural Minnesota. Nursing homes in Metro are struggling, but nursing homes in greater Minnesota even more. So that's what Senate Republicans held out for, to get some more money for nursing homes last time. Maybe that's what they're holding out for this time. We don't know. He has not shown his cards. But if he has to put up votes, I'm guessing he trades something for that.
All right, let's go to the other Senate caucus. Senator Aaron Murphy, Majority Leader. She was very clear on the Almanac couch on Friday night that ultimately she didn't know what she was going to need for votes. And her quote to the Star Tribune was that this is the most difficult session she's ever been through. Having said that, she's a veteran. She's not new to this. She's been in leadership in the House before. Mm-hmm. She's run for governor. She's got a caucus that I think is split three ways between the super progressives, the blue dogs, and then people stuck in the middle. What's your sense of how she can try to kind of keep the glue together to even, we're not even talking about losing five or six votes. There's issues she could lose, you know, 10, 15 votes that she really just can't afford to lose.
Absolutely. And what we've seen typically before in caucuses is maybe two wings. You know, usually there's kind of an extreme wing and a moderate wing. Like you say, I do agree with your assessment that Senate Republicans, with only one vote to spare, are almost in three different groups. But what they did under the trifecta, they had the exact same margin, a one vote margin through the trifecta for Democrats, and they never broke. They stayed together. I don't know if that discipline is still there. It's a different leader. Of course, the late Kerry Dietzick was the one who shepherded through and really held that 34 one vote margin caucus together. So this is a new challenge for Senator Murphy. Like you say, she was in leadership in the House. She was an endorsed candidate for governor, who our current governor, by the way, beat. I like to remind folks of that history. And, you know, with this deal, it did seem like Governor Walz was going back a little towards the middle, because there was definitely a sense, you know, that he was a moderate member of Congress, but that he governed with the trifecta, very progressive, very liberal, very left. This latest compromise, because Republicans have that tie in the House, this compromise brought him back to the middle. And we'll see if that's a comfortable or uncomfortable place for him ultimately.
All right, let's shift to the House, because the House is tied and you have veteran leader Melissa Hortman, Speaker Lisa Damith, and not a veteran lawmaker, relatively new to the House, but has really been, I think, proven to be a calm and steady leader, kind of like Leader Hortman. Talk about the dynamics that you've seen between those two, because I would just say this. I think in history, if you had different personalities in those roles, it would not have looked as smooth as it's looked before. And I think if any two people are most motivated to try to get this done, it's Damith and Hortman, both knowing they're going to be on the ballot next year and they might have leadership challenges within their caucus, but ultimately they need to get out of there so that they can, you know, take a deep breath and then figure out next year.
Yeah, I think it's analogous to the Senate, where the Senate was tied and the two leaders had to work together and they did really well. The House now has been tied for quite a long time and started the session, you know, with almost a month long boycott. It started out super tense and partisan, but since then, these two leaders, these two women have worked really well together. Damith was essentially an unknown when she became leader of the caucus, and even Speaker, still not that well known, still newer to the legislature. But I think she has pleasantly surprised a lot of people. She's a very strong communicator. I keep hearing from voters about how she smiles. She can say something very tough and very difficult, but she seems to have kind of a smile and a sparkle, and she's really good at presenting hard information, I think, in a likable, accessible way, which is really new for her caucus. She's the first woman of color to be a Republican speaker. But she doesn't make a big deal about it. She doesn't even like to talk about gender, because what I noticed the day that deal was announced, because Senator Mark Johnson was not there, we had the governor surrounded by all women, three caucus leaders who were women, three members from his cabinet who were women, budget director, you know, commissioners. So that was a new dynamic, seeing the women. And I know Senator Murphy definitely said, yeah, it makes a difference. Women negotiate differently. They act different. So it is a new tone, and Damith's still kind of an unknown, but really, I think, overperforming from what a lot of people would say, not a ton of experience. Now she has experience behind her. We have Chair Paul Torkelson, very experienced, close to her. Jim Nash, who's the whip, Representative Nash, very experienced. So they have kind of a real interesting team of this brand new person who took over the lead of the caucus, but some very strong, experienced people behind her.
When you think about this, I don't know, I'll call it 36 hours, for lack of a better way, that they're going to try to get done what they can get done. From experience, we've seen a couple government shutdowns in our careers.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that if they don't have another agreement by the end of the day, Monday, on all things, that between conservatives wanting to a pound of flesh out of the governor or his administration, and the super progressives on the health care for undocumented adults, that I think sides are going to dig in more, and that's where Governor Walz's relationships, ability to find the way forward, I think it's more and more challenging. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if they lose momentum, then the government shutdown is a reality. What's happening now is, you know, they're getting some of the budget bills. I think it's almost impossible for them to pass by Monday midnight.
Yes.
Because it's the first year of a biennium. They can pass bills all day on Monday. Next year, the final day of session, you can't pass bills on the day prescribed for adjournment. So Monday is a full work day. They're coming back today and working. But I'd be awfully surprised if they could wrap this all up by the constitutional deadline of Monday midnight. What the question is whether they can just keep going immediately. The governor has the only power, as you know, to call a special session. And that's kind of the biggest power he has. So if he's got, I think you say, like he almost has to have another deal for a special session for him to call it immediately. We've seen governors in the past just call them. You know, Jesse Ventura did it. Others have done it where immediately it's midnight, you keep going. I don't think this governor, he likes to have a prearranged deal, Governor Dayton before him, prearranged deal. We don't see governors forcing the legislature back into special session. The modern way now for a couple decades has been pre-agreement. So the question is, can they keep the momentum? Then it seems like they could do it. If they could finish up next week and just immediately go to special session, then you're still moving ahead. If it drags on past the long holiday weekend, then suddenly, you know, you're looking at government shutdown the end of June, 4th of July weekend coming. Those are tough deadlines.
When we come back, Mary, I want to talk about if that happens and or Governor Walz's personality, his national stage, and what you see as different or the same with the governor during this versus what we've seen the last year. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCC. We are back.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Back on Sunday Take, joining me, Mary LaHammer, friend of the show. I think we'll keep a tab over the next few years, Mary, and, you know, by the time this is over, however, you know, long they'll have me here, we'll see who is on the show most, and I think you might be the winner, so just so we know.
Well, I hope to return the favor. We like to have you on Almanac and Almanac at the Capitol as well.
Thank you.
Old friends we are.
Yes. So before I took the break, I said, let's think about Governor Walz. He has had this national tour. He obviously has national profile. He has big appearances coming up in South Carolina and California. Compared to other governors, he doesn't have kind of a deep relationship with legislative leaders. He hasn't had the greatest legislative team on top of things. What do you think he's thinking as he goes into the end of this and he considers whether or not he's going to run again?
Yeah, he says he plans to announce after session is over. My gut right now is it does seem like he wants to run for what would be an unprecedented third term. And I think it gives him a better platform if he really is running for president. He is clearly, with South Carolina being an early important state, dipping his toe in there, doing a lot of national press. He did back off last week. I know he was booked to be on the new podcast by Minnesota native Maritza Giorgio. She has a podcast with Senator John Tester. They're doing a lot of national guests. He was booked and then they canceled. So I knew that little insider bit because he had to go into budget negotiations. So his communications team and scheduling team seem like they're being careful that he is on the ground in Minnesota during those key final days, which we're in. But yeah, the national tour is continuing. I noticed the New York Times had a story about how some of these rights, health care for undocumented immigrants, were going away in several blue states, California, Illinois, and Minnesota. So that conversation kind of keeps him in the norm with some of these other national figures, as much of it is upsetting his progressive left base. And what the governor isn't is he isn't a former state legislator, as you mentioned. He's in Congress. You know, we've had creatures of the legislature like Tim Pawlenty, who knew all the minutiae and how the legislature goes. You know, the state level was still kind of new to him coming from Congress. So, you know, he has a comfort on national issues. The State of the State address, you know, some folks joked it felt a little bit like a State of the Union. Definitely he took on the president. He talked national politics, even announcing that deal on Friday. I don't know if you could tell how many times he said, you know, we got this deal despite or amidst the chaos in D.C. We can show the nation that deals can be reached. Democrats and Republicans can work together. We did not see that kind of language in his first or second term. So the third term will be interesting to see if it happens. You know, we were both alive through Rudy Perpich trying to get a third term. It didn't go well. My dad covered it really closely. I'll never forget how difficult that election cycle was. And that's when Republican Arne Carlson became governor.
You're right. I think, you know, he has said at the end of session he'll announce. I think he is leaning towards running, which I'd say 6 weeks ago I didn't think he was leaning towards running. And then finally, you know, I view the potential is a little test. So the test is how much pushback he gets from the left in Minnesota. And again, that is just a subset of the dynamics of the National Democratic Party and how they're going to find a presidential candidate in 26. And if he wants to be on that list, he has to figure out how to do it in Minnesota. Well, by the way, you mentioned those other blue states where it's happening. J.B. Pritzker, another candidate in Illinois who might want to be president, and Gavin Newsom in California also might want to run for president. And the three of them are always, they're trying to tack towards the middle. But we both know the base of the party, both here in Minnesota and nationally, is very, very liberal. And so those are the things that I think, you know, are the tough things for Walz to navigate and think through, because he does not like pushback. And when those protesters were outside his office and the fact that they were legislators the other day, you know, in his mind, he was like, this isn't good. This, I don't like this discomfort. And you could kind of see it. Don't you agree?
Yeah, although I have seen him handle discomfort a couple of times this year. You know, it reminded me of that veterans rally when there were hundreds, yep, maybe thousands of veterans in an open space in the Capitol Rotunda. And he got to the stage and here he is, a veteran who got booed and sworn at. And he actually stood his ground and he used a similar phrase I noticed in both situations, which, yes, were uncomfortable to be with people that you think are going to agree with you and then they don't. It gets uncomfortable. What he said in front of the veterans and what he said amidst Democrats protesting him was, this is what this is about. This is passion. I get it. So he was owning and recognizing the passion, you know, and I think we saw from Kamala Harris and how she handled protesters. Walz is maybe taking a different tact on acknowledging it. I get you're angry. I get your passion, and kind of leaning in a little into it. And that seems like he's building a little more comfort knowing how divided this country and this party is.
What are you doing later today? You're just going to camp out at the Capitol and wait for every little tidbit, or you got any other plans today, Mary?
Well, I'll be watching the Capitol, but we also have an Aurora football club, our women's pre-professional team. They are home, TCO, Viking Stadium in Eagan, 5 p.m. Great game. I know someone on the team that I hope I can see. So it's a really fun time if people haven't done it. Come out with your family.
No, I've heard great things. It's going to be a beautiful day, and Mary's daughter is on the team. Bayless is one of the goalkeepers. So as a former goalkeeper myself, there's always a little sensitivity and love for other goalie parents. So there you go.
Thank you. From a hockey parent. We get it.
No problem. Mary, enjoy your Sunday. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Blaise. Okay, bye.
You know, it's setting up the end of session this year is, I think, as challenging as possible. I use the metaphor of, you know, give me a box of puzzle pieces and I'll see how they fit together. I am really having trouble seeing how this thing fits together without a piece missing at the end of the day. And I just think going into that special session, how many pieces of that puzzle are missing? We'll talk about that on The Take when we come back. On Sunday Take, Dio. We are back on Sunday Take. Joining me, Mary LaHammer, friend of the show. I think we'll keep a tab over the next few years, Mary. And, you know, by the time this is over, however, you know, long they'll have me here, we'll see who is on the show most. And I think you might be the winner. So just so we know.
Well, I hope to return the favor. We like to have you on Almanac and Almanac at the Capitol as well.
Thank you.
Old friends we are.
Yes. So before I took the break, I said, Let's think about Governor Walz. He has had this national tour. He obviously has national profile. He has big appearances coming up in South Carolina and California. Compared to other governors, he doesn't have kind of a deep relationship with legislative leaders. He hasn't had the greatest legislative team on top of things. What do you think he's thinking as he goes into the end of this and he considers whether or not he's going to run again?
Yeah, he says he plans to announce after session is over. My gut right now is it does seem like he wants to run for what would be an unprecedented third term. And I think it gives him a better platform if he really is running for president. He is clearly, with South Carolina being an early important state, dipping his toe in there, doing a lot of national press. He did back off last week. I know he was booked to be on the new podcast by Minnesota native Maritza Giorgio. She has a podcast with Senator John Tester. They're doing a lot of national guests. He was booked and then they canceled. So I knew that little insider bit because he had to go into budget negotiations. So his communications team and scheduling team seem like they're being careful that he is on the ground in Minnesota during those key final days, which we're in. But yeah, the national tour is continuing. I noticed the New York Times had a story about how some of these rights, health care for undocumented immigrants, were going away in several blue states, California, Illinois, and Minnesota. So that conversation kind of keeps him in the norm with some of these other national figures, as much of it is upsetting his progressive left base. And what the governor isn't is he isn't a former state legislator, as you mentioned. He's in Congress. You know, we've had creatures of the legislature like Tim Pawlenty, who knew all the minutiae and how the legislature goes. You know, the state level was still kind of new to him coming from Congress. So, you know, he has a comfort on national issues. The State of the State address, you know, some folks joked it felt a little bit like a State of the Union. Definitely he took on the president. He talked national politics, even announcing that deal on Friday. I don't know if you could tell how many times he said, you know, we got this deal despite or amidst the chaos in D.C. We can show the nation that deals can be reached. Democrats and Republicans can work together. We did not see that kind of language in his first or second term. So the third term will be interesting to see if it happens. You know, we were both alive through Rudy Perpich trying to get a third term. It didn't go well. My dad covered it really closely. I'll never forget how difficult that election cycle was. And that's when Republican Arne Carlson became governor.
You're right. I think, you know, he has said at the end of session he'll announce. I think he is leaning towards running, which I'd say 6 weeks ago I didn't think he was leaning towards running. And then finally, you know, I view the potential is a little test. So the test is how much pushback he gets from the left in Minnesota. And again, that is just a subset of the dynamics of the National Democratic Party and how they're going to find a presidential candidate in 26. And if he wants to be on that list, he has to figure out how to do it in Minnesota. Well, by the way, you mentioned those other blue states where it's happening. J.B. Pritzker, another candidate in Illinois who might want to be president, and Gavin Newsom in California also might want to run for president. And the three of them are always, they're trying to tack towards the middle. But we both know the base of the party, both here in Minnesota and nationally, is very, very liberal. And so those are the things that I think, you know, are the tough things for Walz to navigate and think through, because he does not like pushback. And when those protesters were outside his office and the fact that they were legislators the other day, you know, in his mind, he was like, this isn't good. This, I don't like this discomfort. And you could kind of see it. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Although I have seen him handle discomfort a couple of times this year, you know, it reminded me of that veterans rally when there were hundreds, yep, maybe thousands of veterans in an open space in the Capitol Rotunda. And he got to the stage and here he is, a veteran who got booed and sworn at. And he actually stood his ground, and he used a similar phrase I noticed in both situations, which, yes, were uncomfortable to be with people that you think are going to agree with you and then they don't. It gets uncomfortable. What he said in front of the veterans and what he said amidst Democrats protesting him was, this is what this is about. This is passion. I get it. So he was owning and recognizing the passion, you know, and I think we saw from Kamala Harris and how she handled protesters. Walz is maybe taking a different tact on acknowledging it. I get you're angry. I get your passion, and kind of leaning in a little into it. And that seems like he's building a little more comfort knowing how divided this country and this party is.
What are you doing later today? You're just going to camp out at the Capitol and wait for every little tidbit, or you got any other plans today, Mary?
Well, I'll be watching the Capitol, but we also have an Aurora football club, our women's pre-professional team. They are home, TCO Viking Stadium in Eagan. 5 p.m. Great game. I know someone on the team that I hope I can see. So it's a really fun time. If people haven't done it, come out with your family.
No, I've heard great things. It's going to be a beautiful day. And Mary's daughter is on the team. Bayless is one of the goalkeepers. So as a former goalkeeper myself, there's always a little sensitivity and love for other goalie parents. So there you go.
Thank you. From a hockey parent. We get it.
No problem. Mary, enjoy your Sunday. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, boys. Okay, bye.
You know, it's setting up the end of session this year is, I think, as challenging as possible. I use the metaphor of, you know, give me a box of puzzle pieces and I'll see how they fit together. I am really having trouble seeing how this thing fits together without a piece missing at the end of the day. And I just think, going into that special session, how many pieces of that puzzle are missing? We'll talk about that on The Take when we come back on Sunday Take.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.